Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio once he's finishing up at the Penn State Quarterback Club with James Franklin. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. A service department that is there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, and a sales department that is there for you, not just there for the sale. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Going to talk some more college football today. Penn State and Delaware coming up at noon on Peacock this week, a reminder. So if you're having trouble with that, we got the game over on Eagle 107 with the tailgate show at 10:30, kickoff at noon with Steve and Jack and the rest of the gang from Beaver Stadium. We have that coming up. And on tomorrow's show, we have the high school football roundtable, week three already of high school football season. Shikellamy and Central Mountain this week. Lewisburg taking on Montoursville. And we've got Seals Grove with a big one at home against Jersey Shore. So we'll break all those down tomorrow at 2:06. Then Peter King from NBC at 2:45 to preview the NFL opener, Lions-Chiefs, as well as the rest of the NFL season. And he's got the Eagles as his Super Bowl favorite, I saw the other day on his Football Morning in America column, over the Bills. And the Eagles over the Cowboys in the NFC title game, which would be pretty epic, as he said in his article. So we'll talk to Peter King tomorrow at 2:45. Then Friday, more Eagles and Steelers talk. The voice of the Steelers, Bill Hillgrove at 1:15, and the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles just celebrated his 81st birthday. Merrill Reese joins us at 1:45. Then, of course, the King with our picks. So that's a look at the rest of the week here across the board here on the Steve Jones Show. So we'll get into all that coming up as we continue here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And back here on the Steve Jones Show, Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Steve making his way back from the quarterback club he does every Wednesday with James Franklin, so we'll get to him in a little bit. But another related Penn State news, Carl Nassib just announced his retirement today. And, of course, he just became the first openly gay active player in the NFL. He announced his retirement on Instagram, calling the retirement, quote, a bittersweet moment. And he just said, one of the first things he said right off the bat in his post was, it really feels like just yesterday starting out as a walk-on at Penn State. He said, football has given me more than I ever could have imagined. I can truly hang up my helmet for the last time knowing I gave it everything I had. And Nassib also told People magazine the NFL is interested in maintaining a connection in a to-be-determined role. So we'll see how that plays out. Of course, he was just playing with the Las Vegas Raiders before he came out as gay in 2021. And so he is announcing his retirement after several seasons in the NFL. And then tough news for the Pirates today. Andrew McCutchen torn his Achilles, or a partial torn Achilles, I should say, and he is done for the year. And that happened while he was legging out a double in the win in Milwaukee Monday night. It was weird because he originally posted on his Twitter, on his X page, I should say, that he was fine. But then further examination by Pirates medical staff revealed the tear. And then, of course, Andrew McCutchen said, no, I'm not, or, you know, this is a tough day or something like that is what he said. He quote tweeted it after that. So that's a big loss for the Pirates, although, of course, they really weren't going anywhere. But it was just a nice feel-good story and to return, something that Pirates fans could hang their hat on in the midst of another tough season and seeing some of the kids now maybe try to come up and see what they can do on the big league level. So he's going to be in a walking boot for 6 weeks, but so far there's been no discussion of surgery for the 36-year-old. But yeah, so he is now done for the season for the Pirates. So there it is there. As far as the Penn State game with Delaware, again, that's at noon on Saturday, and it's a Peacock game. So if you don't got Peacock, we got you covered over on Eagle 107 with coverage beginning at 10:30 with the tailgate show. Kickoff at noon. You're just looking to take care of business again this week. I mean, I think Mark Wolgenrich gave a really excellent point yesterday, noting that how Penn State met most of their expectations coming into the season with that win Saturday night against West Virginia because it was against a Power 5 team. Now, we'll see how good they'll be in the next few weeks. But like you said, it's still a good team in that kind of environment. The first broadcast for NBC. I mean, it did not feel like a regular season game. It felt like a mid-October type game, which is something that Audrey Snyder had said on the show late last week, that would be the kind of atmosphere that Penn State would have to battle through in their first game at home. And that was exactly the case. I mean, the crowd was amazing. It was electric, over 110,000 there. And so that was a good first test for Penn State, and I agree with Mark. Essentially, that's a 31-7 game by the time the starters came out on both sides. So that's a really good start for Penn State, and now you look to carry that momentum and into this week against Delaware, of course, a team that you obviously need to take care of business against. Get your work in. Get out to that big league. Get everybody out. Get the young guys back in and get some more time like they did late in the game against West Virginia, and move on to your first Big Ten game at Illinois. But I thought that was an interesting point for Mark, that yes, that you saw expectations from the preseason met against a good team right off the bat. Now, obviously, there's still question marks. There's kicker, especially for Penn State, that we'll see what happens there as far as who might get the nod next week. You had the two missed field goals by Xander Sahady. Pelicans comes in, hits the 25-yarder, which is a chip shot. So we'll see how that plays out. You have some spots to still see. A punt return, maybe. Wanting to see that a little bit more clean. Punting itself, you only saw two punts. One was good, one was okay, not great. But I agree with Mark. I think that's an interesting perspective to look at as you head into this week with Delaware. And once again, when it comes to just managing the quarterbacks, obviously we knew all along Aller was the guy, even though it really wasn't determined until the last minute officially. But as I said last year, when Sean Clifford was still here and you saw Drew Aller come in different situations. Obviously, he had to come in when the game was still on the balance opening week in Purdue. Then you saw him come in against Ohio last year and go on that game-clinching drive to put the game away, and he had other chances throughout the course of the year. And that's exactly, and I said at the time last year, that was kind of second-level coaching by James Franklin. And I think you especially need to do it nowadays, while it may not be always ideal, but especially with NIL and everything else going on with the transfer portal, it's just harder and harder to make players happy. And this is a good way that James Franklin's got going here, where he can continue to make players happy and keep his backup happy and keep him in a Penn State uniform, which is a good player in Bo Perbula. And he gave him that opportunity to go with the second-teamers down the field and get a clinching score, just like he did with Drew Aller last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see that exact same scenario against a team like Delaware next week. And then you get more playing time, probably, assuming that Penn State is able to get out to a big lead and take care of business. So that's a really good thing for Penn State to have. And then James Franklin mentioned in Tuesday's press conference that you could see more from Bo, how he can help the offense a little bit more. And I think that's referring to what I've said on the show. I mean, I can't know this for sure. I'm not at practice every day like Steve is. But it wouldn't be surprising to me if you see Perbula get some reps on certain packages, goal line, short yardage, those types of package plays during the regular season. And maybe even the postseason. We'll see. So you saw a lot of good things there. One thing with Keandre Lambert-Smith, I criticized him a lot last year as a guy that wasn't reliable, had the dropsies. And while he had that one bad drop on the third and short in the first half, I thought he really turned into a good go-to guy. And of course, he was fantastic in the Rose Bowl. Okay, I'm not gonna scoff at that. But overall, I thought he was inconsistent last year. This year, I think you saw in the first game, other than the drop, take another step forward. And now, what can the other guys do around him in that receiving core? You saw Malik McClain have a couple of good games, a couple of good catches, got in the end zone. So we'll see how things go as far as that plays out. Offensive line, as Steve kind of mentioned yesterday, I thought they protected well for the most part with, of course, no Langdon Tangwall anymore. Run game obviously was good, as expected. So that's a look on the side of things for the offense. The defense, it's kind of interesting that Steve mentioned yesterday, I guess I didn't realize this, that the defense had only gave up 3.7 yards per carry in the run game when it didn't really look that great just from the eye test and looking at it, especially early on. I mean, that kept West Virginia in the game, and I think ultimately kept Penn State from getting the ball, giving Penn State more possessions in the first half. It was only 14-7 at halftime. I think a big part of that is West Virginia was able to sustain drives. They may not have been able to score points, but they were able to sustain drives, keep Penn State's offense off the field. Therefore, you give less possessions to Penn State. Because, as we saw there, Penn State scored or was in scoring position on virtually every time they had the football. And you take away the two field goals, and there it is. And then they had two punts in the game. So, you have that there. And if any questions for Steve later on in the show, or if you've got any comments from the game, questions for this week, going forward, 570-743-9565. That's how you get into the conversation. We're at Steve Jones PSU on Twitter, or on X, I should say, and Steve Jones Show on Facebook. SteveJones@WKOK.com is our email. Always want to hear from you on Penn State football and other sports topics, of course, but especially when it comes to Penn State football. So that was just kind of my general overview of where I saw things from my perspective from 30,000 feet or more in watching the game Saturday night. And so I think defensively, too, I like what Mark had to say, that he thinks that some of the issues were kind of gap discipline. When you're facing an offense like that, especially week one, you tend to get a little undisciplined, and that's kind of what happens. And he doesn't think that's going to be an issue going forward for Penn State. And if you missed any of Mark yesterday, of course, you can check it out, stevejonesshow.com, wherever you get your podcasts as well. And I thought that was an interesting point, too, because that's true. I mean, when you have a guy at quarterback that can run with the football, plus you have what I think is going to be an NFL-caliber type center as well. I was really impressed by him for West Virginia last week. Then that certainly can make some things difficult, especially in week one, where guys also are unused to tackling on a consistent basis. So, but that's still going to be something, though, I will watch throughout, especially in the first two Big Ten games. I don't think you're necessarily going to learn a whole lot this week against Delaware, but I guess I could be wrong about that. As far as if you're going to see noticeable improvements, if to me, as long as Penn State takes care of business and wins comfortably like they should, get guys some time again, then that's a win in my book. That's exactly what you want to see. And then you'll see what else this team's going to be made of, as Mike Gross has talked about, as Mark Wogenrich has talked about, Audrey Snyder's talked about in the first couple Big Ten games, where you're at Illinois, so you're on the road to begin Big Ten play next week, and then you come home for Iowa for the whiteout. So, yeah, I'll definitely be curious about that, but other than that, I thought the defense looked fantastic. It wasn't a great game for Abdul Carter. Slow, kind of quiet game, but came on and made some plays late in the game. But I think he'll be fine. I was really intrigued by Tony Rojas. I'm curious to see his development throughout as the season goes along. As Steve said yesterday, I thought Curtis Jacobs, I enjoy watching that guy play football. I mean, he was all over the place from start to finish. Made a lot of big plays. Secondary is fine, other than the big pass play to Carter, which led to the first touchdown of the game for West Virginia. And it definitely seemed to me, and Steve confirmed it, that somebody just didn't rotate over in the secondary. So the good thing is, as we've talked about before, all this stuff is correctable, and you can do it coming off a win. Much easier to go over these corrections that you have that are fixable, and they're not major like Penn State's in, and you can do it after a win, after a good win too, 38-15, over a good team, a Power 5 team, in that type of primetime environment right off the bat against West Virginia. So Penn State is in a good spot to after 1 week. And we all figured it would be, but just kind of, now that I've heard some of these observations from everybody that are a little bit closer to the team than I am, I think as a Penn State fan, you should feel pretty comfortable where this team is right now. I really do. So that's a good thing there. So we'll get into more Penn State football talk, more college football talk overall when Steve joins us, once he gets back from the quarterback club with James Franklin. And again, tomorrow, we've got the high school football roundtable at 2:06. Peter King tomorrow at 2:45. Friday, Bill Hillgrove at 1:15. Merrill Reese at 1:45. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today, and my thanks to Matt for filling the breach at the beginning, only because I had quarterback club today, and with Mike Rhodes and Kobe King and Theo Johnson and Devon Ellis and James Franklin, it went a little longer today, and Matt, as always, did a great job of filling in. So I appreciate it. So what exactly did you complain about? I mean, that's what I mean.
Well, you know what? On a day like today, of course, I had nothing to complain about. So I just went through my observations from the West Virginia game.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm sure that was educational.
I hope it was.
Wow. So, there you go. There you go. Very nice. There you go. All set. Okay. I mean, I thought there would be something for you to complain about.
I know. I mean, of all days to not have anything, I did not have anything today. So I just thought, you know what? I'll just throw in my two cents from what I saw Saturday night.
Yeah, but you were at the beach. You didn't even watch the game.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Oh, I was locked in. For the most part, other than having to put the kids to bed. I had to step away for a little bit, but other than that, I was locked in.
Yeah, but you watched Coastal Carolina UCLA. I mean, you told me that the other day. I didn't even see the game.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'm kidding you. I'm just kidding. Okay, so nice note from Roy. Yes, Roy was the cashier at Chiefs. I remember Roy. I do very much. I remember Roy. He said he'd seen Jack and me in the booth at Penn State Athletics app. He says he's no longer in State College, so he was listening to the game on Saturday on the Penn State Sports Network and found a tab called Behind the Mic that actually takes you to the booth once again. He says, I'll be listening to games using this during the season. It was great to see and hear Jack and you during the game. I always find that interesting. Like, I could watch the game, or I could watch you two do the game. Okay, now I know what I'd pick. I'd watch the game, but that's me.
Oh, my almighty!
But it does get to the point where you completely forget the camera's there. When it first came up, we were very aware the camera was there. Very aware. And so we then talked to them about, hey, guys, because if Jack and I wanted to talk about something, we'd go in the hallway to talk about it. Right? And it's never about the broadcast. Jack and I never talk about the broadcast, ever. It's always, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think they should try here? You know, things like that. But we'd go in the hallway to do it. So then they came up with this way of, look, commercials are on, you actually hear that, and they show you the parking lot, I guess, or something like that. But you do get to the point where you do forget it's there. And, you know, it's just kind of, and everybody has it. It was interesting. I saw a piece with Eli Gold, and they showed Eli, who's Alabama's play-by-play announcer. And I think I've told Eli's story several times about, you know, his comeback from cancer, his comeback really from near death to get back in the booth. So Saturday was his first game back in the booth since the bowl game in 2021. So his first time back, because he missed the entire 22 season. So they had a camera crew following him in. And they were kidding. It was like, hey, Eli, you brought an entourage with you and so forth. Well, they got into the booth, because they're Learfield like we are. And so I looked in there, the same sideline get up on the left, which is a transmitter for Brian to get us, you know, from the sideline. Same camera set up for behind the mic. The whole deal. So It was interesting just to see. It's like, nothing's different. Theirs is the same. Totally the same. So there you are. Yeah. No difference. All right. Interesting in football this weekend, or this past weekend. Texas State beat Baylor. Coastal Carolina beat UCLA. And it's important to mention that because I know it is easy for everybody to take this weekend as a throwaway. And I understand that. Okay. The key is that you don't have to take it seriously. And if you want to think of it as a throwaway, that's perfectly fine. Right? The players and the coaches can't do that. They can't even for a second think of it as a throwaway. They have to think of it as, hey, look, we better go out, take care of business, and then go to the next one. And that's how they have to do it. Because when Texas State goes to Waco and beats Baylor, you think, okay. When Coastal Carolina goes and plays and beats UCLA, okay. That then becomes examples of problems. And you don't want to be one of those teams that they're talking about on Monday. Or, UCLA came back, beat Coastal Carolina, but they were losing at halftime. I think they said they lost to them. No, they beat them, but they were losing at halftime. That's the issue, is that anybody can do that. And you just don't want to be the team they're talking about on Monday as somebody who fouled up. We can't be that team. And that's why it is really good. I mean, this is where that 1-0 mentality comes in. To me, the 1-0 is easy when you play Ohio State and Iowa and people like that. That's easy. 1-0 is, I've always said, is always, I remember when they beat Ohio State in 2016, the next week was Purdue, and I said on the show, this is where the 1-0 comes in. It's not the 1-0 against Ohio State. That's obvious. It's, okay, the euphoria of that, now you've got to win again this week. The season didn't end. For Penn State, the season's just begun. They can't afford to have any kind of stumble in this game. Right? Just can't. And that's why they have to do what they need to do. You as fans, you are always entitled to look ahead, have a different thought process. That's because you're not participating. You're not playing. Right? You're participating as fans. And you can always look ahead. And I have zero problem with that because Penn State has the best fans in the world, and I think that is something that is one of the coolest things about this place. I said today at quarterback club when I got up because Mike Rhodes was there. And we've had a lot of great, great days here at Penn State. Great days. I was so fortunate for 32 years personally to be around Joe. So I saw all those great days and cherished all those great days and cherished him. I will defend that man right to the end. And there's a lot of elements about my job that I love, and something about my job I really love. And I said this after Mike Rhodes got up at quarterback club today, and I said, you know what I really love is I feel like my gut's telling me in this new era, right, our best days are ahead of us. I think the best days are ahead of us in basketball. Best days are ahead of us in football after experiencing the best of the best days in Penn State football. But I love living in the present. And I see glimpses of the future. And I think that it's just really, that's what makes the job I have so cool. You may have a different opinion than I do about best days and so forth, but I thought the days that we had here at Penn State have been awesome and the greatest, right? And but at the same time, I think that there's a really good chance that our best days are ahead. Yeah, I've always been an optimist anyway, which you all of you know. Some of you think I'm too optimistic. I understand that. I'd rather be too optimistic than too pessimistic. I feel it's better to go through life with a positive attitude. So let's turn our attention now to Matt's wine of the day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No? I'm kidding. Although it sounds like you want to participate.
I do, but I'm searching for material right now.
How can you be searching for material? You hate almost everything.
I know. That's what's shocking.
Wow. Crazy. But, you know, you sit there on a Saturday night, and, of course, there's been a buildup and an anticipation for months and then weeks leading up to the opening game. And I told the story on yesterday's show about Jack, myself, Roger, and it was Brian, because Brian was going out to the field. And, you know, fashionably late arriving crowd. You know, when I mean late, I mean because we're going to the booth about 35 minutes. Okay? Before? 35 minutes before? And everybody was already in their seats. And as we're walking, now we didn't go all the way through the tunnel onto the field. Jack and I had done that earlier during warm-ups. But we're walking and we're getting right. We had to make a left turn to go up to the box. But we got right to like the last possible part of the tunnel before we make the left turn. I said, Jack, look at this. And the two of us just stood there for about 5 seconds, and we're looking at this sea of humanity, all dressed in white and enthusiastic. And we're like, how lucky are we that we get to do this and see this? And then you sit up in the booth, and of course, we've got the best view in the face of the earth, and we see all the fans. Phenomenal. I mean, it really, to be at this place at this time, pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. So, you know? I think some people asked about when they were watching offense, number 51 on offense. On Saturday, that was Dominic Rulli, because Vandenberg and Rulli could both possibly be on a special team together. Even if they're on second team, they might be on special teams together. And if that were to happen, one has to wear a different number. That's why, for example, you notice J.B. Nelson now wears 56. J.B. Nelson was 55 until he started. Then he got into a special team last year, and when he did, he had to change to 56 and just kept it. It's the same thing with Dominic. Dominic wears 51 because he and Jordan Vandenberg, there's an outside chance they could be on a special team together, and they're trying to avoid any situations like that. So that's why he's 51 and is a terrific center. Does a nice job. And during the course of camp, something that the position group does is they will give out, you know, you see the stripes on the game helmets. Now, they don't wear game helmets in practice. They wear practice helmets with the shells over it. But the practice helmets are all white, except the position group, and then slowly but surely, you know, those guys get their blue stripes. Well, then the veterans who already have blue stripes in their helmets in practice then determine through hard work, perseverance, everything, whom they feel should have the blue stripe down the middle. Dominic got one a couple of weeks ago because the other offensive lineman felt he earned it. So if you're wondering who 51 is on offense when they get in there because he's not on the program, and that's something that would not have been on the program because it's a decision that happened late. That's who it is. It's Dominic Rulli. Had a chance to talk with his parents a couple of weeks ago. Great family. Great people. They were so thrilled about the stripe. It was unbelievable. But, yeah, that's who that is. And he plays center. And if things go the way they hope they go this weekend, you may see him back in the game again. Okay? All right. I apologize to Matt because it was an overly positive segment. And Matt thrives on firing people and boiling up hate below the surface and then just letting it explode.
Well, one thing I will say is I am not being a part of the, I guess, small hype, basically around the New York market, of Giancarlo Stanton hitting his 400th homer last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he's literally done nothing in a Yankee uniform. So I'm not going to go out of my way to really celebrate that, to be honest with you. I was there for Aaron Judge's 200th career home run, but he's done something when he's not hurt. Giancarlo Stanton's done zip-bola for this franchise, except hit a couple moonshots every once in a while. So, no, I could almost care less that he had his 400th career home run last night. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I don't want him, never wanted him in a Yankee uniform. He's probably one of the more overrated players in Major League Baseball. Period.
So let me get where you're coming from here. First of all, 400 home runs is a milestone. And any milestone which involves longevity should always be celebrated, in my personal opinion. And that's fine. You know, he's hit 400 home runs. That's 400 more than this guy's hit. So I give him credit for that. I know you're upset that he has done very little in a uniform for the New York Yankees, which is true. He really hasn't. I mean, most of those home runs have been with the Marlins. Okay. But, I mean, but he still has hit 400 home runs. I mean, there's certain things in life you can't take away from somebody. I mean, there are a lot of great players that never hit 400 home runs in their career. And I'm not saying he's a great player, because, I mean, he's a good player. He's not a great player. But, I mean, milestones should be celebrated. Don't you think?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I acknowledge it, but that's about it.
Sounds so grudging. Give the guy a break.
I would love to be paid $270 million to strike out every time at the plate.
Do you give your children any positive reinforcement, or is it all from Lisa?
I feel like it's 50-50 split from both of us, but sometimes she goes about 60-40, maybe sometimes 70-30.
Okay. Okay, I just, you know. I mean, the kids seemed so happy about the other day on the video. But they kept looking at Mom. Right? And the one time they looked at you, they got into the fetal position. I don't understand. You're not holding the hose high enough. Daddy doesn't tolerate stupid.
That's right.
Uh-oh. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I just feel like an overly positive segment gives Matt the shakes.
I mean, I am genuinely a positive person for the most part, but, you know, sometimes you go through things that beat you down constantly, like teams losing, and it kind of rubs off on you a little bit sometimes.
Well, by the way... Pat Kraft sent me a picture.